Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Monday, February 23rd. I'm Ray Graff. Support comes from Daughters of Sarah, Albany, New York, providing a continuum of care for seniors, offering them opportunities to live at age gracefully with dignity and respect. Daughtersofsarah.org. Joining us this afternoon for Medical Monday is Dr. Niraj Sharma of Cardinal Spine and Pain Medicine in Wappingers Falls, New York. We'll talk today about back and neck pain and what non-surgical treatment options are available for treatment nowadays. The number to call is 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. If you have a question, we will. You can email as well, voxpop@wamc.org. We'll welcome back Dr. Sharma and take your calls coming up right after the news. Hello again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. It's Medical Monday, and with us today is Dr. Niraj Sharma of Capital Spine and Pain Medicine. I should say Cardinal Spine and Pain Medicine in Wappingers Falls, New York. Board-certified and fellowship-trained interventional spine and pain medicine expert, physical medicine, rehabilitation, that sort of thing. Dr. Sharma is here to talk about low back pain, neck pain, herniated discs, spinal stenosis, pinched nerves, that type of thing. Non-surgical treatment options, specifically. If you have a question, give us a call, 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551, or you may email the program at any point, voxpop@wamc.org. Dr. Niraj Sharma, welcome back. How are you?
Good. How are you, Ray? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. Now, you're in Wappingers Falls. Is it still snowing down there?
Yes, it is.
How much have you gotten? Any idea?
I think maybe 4 to 6 inches so far.
Well, that's not too bad. So that's
good. Yeah, not so bad.
But it's still not worth making the very long drive up here today, so we'll give you a mulligan on that one. How are things at Cardinal Spine and Pain Medicine?
Good. We are very busy. Unfortunately, with this snow and ice, you know, there are a lot of more injuries and slip and falls. So, you know, we get those calls and we try to help those patients.
Well, I mean, every time that we get a massive snowstorm, your phone must ring off the hook. Shoveling is, we all do it wrong. And I still feel pain from Saturday.
I believe it, Ray. There's a lot of factors involved. Basic things that we should keep in mind when shoveling. Obviously you want to warm up properly. Maybe if you don't want to walk outside, maybe do some stretching. Make sure you dress in layers, because as we shovel more, we get warmer. We want to take off some layers there. Our equipment has to be appropriate. Sometimes the shovels are just too heavy. So see if you can get a lighter shovel that's ergonomic in nature. Some of these shovels they make with a certain curve, so that decreases the amount of bending you have to do. That can help as well.
You know, I have one of those, and I swear it has sort of an L shape to it in the handle of the shovel. I could never really warm up to it. It just doesn't seem right to me. But I know they're better for you.
Well, usually the S-shaped ones are a little better. The handle should kind of reach your elbow at least, just to be ergonomic. Otherwise, you're going to cause more harm than good.
We are joined today by Dr. Niraj Sharma of Cardinal Spine and Pain Medicine in Wappingers Falls, New York, where it's still snowing. It stopped up here, so it's at least for the time being, so I feel a lot better about the whole thing. had an email here earlier today, and this writer doesn't remember if it was you, and I'm not sure I remember either. Nick writes in, on a different Vox Pop a few years ago, one of the doctors mentioned a technique that has helped me so much while working manually and worth re-mentioning. Bend over, touch your toes or as close as possible, then roll the back up, bring the hands and arms above and behind the head, look up and hold that position for several seconds. Does that sound like something you would prescribe?
I don't think that was me. That sounds like maybe one of your physical therapist shows may have suggested that.
All right, so maybe for our listeners' sake, and you've been on several times, but for those who have never heard you on this program, what exactly do you do at Cardinal Spine and Pain Medicine?
Sure. So I have two board certifications. One of them is in physical medicine and rehabilitation, which simply is a combination, you can think of it, of orthopedics and neurology, but I'm on the non-surgical side. Then I also have a board certification in pain medicine and a fellowship in interventional spine. So what that means is that I can do injections in peripheral joints, such as shoulders, hips, knees, but I can also do the spine. So if someone has a herniated disc in the neck or the low back, I have the training and certification to do those injections as well.
Now, when you give an injection for a herniated disc, let's say, and you nail it, you hit that sweet spot where it's right where the medication has to go, it's not a permanent solution, is it?
It can be for some. Again, there's so many variables involved, what their occupation is. Especially I see a lot in nursing and in the construction field where there's a lot of lifting and bending involved, so that may aggravate the nerve sooner than in another patient, if they're overweight, if they're smokers, and of course, most important, how bad is the anatomy? If the stenosis or the narrowing is severe, it can cause more compression. How long has that compression been there? So all those things play a role.
Not to be defensive about it, but what could smoking possibly have to do with pain from spinal stenosis or a herniated disc?
I'm glad you asked, Ray.
Okay.
So everyone knows that, there is nicotine in the cigarette. So nicotine acts as a vasoconstrictor, kind of like a boa constrictor, that big snake, right? So
right.
As a vasoconstrictor, it closes the blood vessels. So if the blood can't get to the back or the neck or whatever joint, so what's not getting there? Blood, oxygen, nutrients, healing factors. So when you smoke, you are preventing healing by your body. So one of my big tips is if you can, stop smoking or at least try to decrease the smoking. You will see an improvement, hopefully.
We're joined today by Dr. Niraj Sharma of Cardinal Spine and Pain Medicine in Wappingers Falls, New York. The number to call is 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551, and we'll get to the phones after the first break here. You can also email the program at voxpop@wamc.org. Okay, I go in with spinal stenosis, or let's say a herniated disc. You've tried the shots. They're not working for me. Next stage maybe is pain medication, and there is certainly a scarlet letter attached to pain meds, maybe rightly or wrongly, but how do you manage that?
So, yes, pain can be treated with narcotics, but in my specific practice, they are used not at all or very minimally. I like to treat nerve pain, neuropathic pain, with mostly non-narcotics, anti-inflammatories, nerve pain medications instead. We really don't emphasize the narcotics.
But sometimes, I've heard from many doctors who work on spines, and sometimes that's the last option, right?
Right. There are some doctors that will write for it, and, some patients need it, especially, say, if you've had back surgery, they will write for a short course of narcotics. But a lot of the guidelines and the protocols that are out there now, they frown upon the use of narcotics more than, say, 5 days or a week. They want the physicians to convert the patients to non-narcotics. So there are a lot of more, strict restrictions, I should say, out there now, unfortunately.
And you're good with that, though, right?
Well, I am. Again, in my specific practice, there may be pain management docs out there that want to write for that, and that's perfectly fine. That's just not something I use a lot in mine.
What's the most common ailment or pain that someone will come to you with at Cardinal Spine and Pain?
I'm going to say sciatica, which is, a lay term, basically to mean that you have pain shooting into your legs, and it usually happens after a certain event or injury, like weightlifting in the gym in my younger patients, or shoveling, shoveling, or cleaning, or vacuuming. You know, chopping wood. This is an area where a lot of patients do have wood for their stove. So, you know, any of those things. But most common is low back pain, I must say, with pain shooting into the legs.
You know, I have a great physical therapist who comes on quarterly on this program, Matthew Goodemote, and he's a spine guy, and he says often that sciatica is one of the most over diagnosed things until you go actually see a doctor and they say, well, no, it's really not sciatica.
Well, sciatica is one of the diagnoses, you know, that may explain the pain in the legs. But when my patients come to me, we do examine them. So there are absolutely, I agree with Matthew in that there are other sources that can present as sciatica when it may not be a pinched nerve. It may be another joint like the sacroiliac joint or their facet joints in the spine. So absolutely, there could be other sources, or they could have bursitis in the hip that presents that way. So that's why it's very important, as I say on each show, that you have to examine your patient to help you differentiate.
We're joined by Dr. Niraj Sharma today of Cardinal Spine and Pain Medicine in Wappingers Falls, New York. Tell you what, Doc, you're doing a great job over the phone. We'll take a quick break here, and then we'll come back and we'll hit the phones, 800-348-2551. Groovy stuff from Pete Levin and Company. I'm falling here on Vox Pop. 800-348-2551. Don't you fall in the ice. You be very careful out there today. We're joined by Dr. Niraj Sharma of Cardinal Spine and Pain Medicine in Wappingers Falls, New York. And before we get to the phones at 800-348-2551, I've never had this. How does one get a pinched nerve? Nerves are very small. What's pinching it?
So it's an anatomical source. For example, the nerves exit out of these holes in our back on each side. So when those holes get narrower over time, you know, due to arthritis, could be a movement of a disc that makes that space narrower. So as the nerve passes through that space, it gets compressed or pinched.
But that pinched nerve, that can go away. Spinal stenosis doesn't go away, right?
Exactly. So the injections that I do for the back, what we're actually addressing is the inflammation of the nerve itself. Because it is non-surgical, the stenosis remains the same, the anatomy remains the same. That is true.
We're joined by Dr. Niraj Sharma. It's spine and pain medicine today, and specifically non-surgical treatment options. The number is 800-348-2551. Email is voxpop@wamc.org. Christine writes, pain in my neck, right side. How can I determine if the cause is muscle or bone or both?
Well, I would say their doctor can determine that, you know, by a good examination. But commonly, you know, they can try things like ice, or heat. Sometimes I prefer ice, 10-15 minutes at a time. Or if they're able to take an anti-inflammatory like Aleve or Advil with food, that may help. Sometimes Tylenol may do the trick. But really, to differentiate, you do need a physical exam.
What does ice do?
So ice can help with inflammation. It can also help with muscle spasm. It helps to relax the muscle. So even though a lot of my patients love using heat, as does my mom, it helps with, you know, bringing blood flow to the area, but it does not help with the inflammation itself. For that, I would recommend ice.
So do you ever have to tell mom, hey, you're doing it wrong?
I do, but she's a nurse, and she does not listen to me.
Ah,
so there you go.
There you are. We're joined by Dr. Niraj Sharma of Cardinal Spine and Pain Medicine. The number is 800-348-2551. Email is voxpop@wamc.org. We will go to a Medical Monday regular, Jim in Matamoros, Pennsylvania. Jim, you're on.
Is ketamine an effective analgesic?
Is ketamine an effective analgesic? Doc.
So thank you for the question, Jim. I do not use that in my practice. That's more used in hospital settings where the patient can be monitored. It's usually given IV.
All right, Jim.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Well, you're welcome. 800-348-2551. What medical options do you prefer in your practice, Dr. Sharma?
In my practice, I prefer, modalities such as physical therapy or chiropractics first. You always want to start with
right.
the easy things because a lot of the time that's sufficient to take care of the issues. And if nothing else, the patient can learn a good home exercise program because the goal of physical therapy is, not to be in PT forever. You want to learn how to do those exercises appropriately on your own so you can maintain those benefits long term.
The number here is 800-348-2551. And now let's see here. Oh, gosh, it's Abigail in Kingston. Abigail, you're on.
Well, thank you very much for taking the call. And I find this topic so fascinating and interesting. But I'm interested in the psychology of pain. When you interview your patients, do you ask them, of course, I hope, what's going on in their lives, especially with neck and lower back, those kinds of pains?
That's such an interesting angle, Abigail. Go ahead, doctor.
Absolutely. That's why, I schedule a lot of extra time for especially my new patients because I want to get to know them. But, something we take pride in our practice is that we don't rush our patients. And, I'm fortunate enough and honored that patients share a lot of personal information with me. And you're right, Abigail. Sometimes stressors in your life can contribute to these symptoms. So, yes.
Thank you.
They're definitely
thanks,
discussed.
Abigail.
All right. Thanks very much.
Appreciate the call. I was just, I don't know how I stumbled upon it, but there was this guy in the 60s and 70s, even in the 50s, who prescribed laughter as something that will cure you of many things. Norman Cousins, I believe his name was. Now, is there anything, I don't think you can measure this scientifically, but is there anything in your experience that says, oh, yeah, laughter is really good medicine?
Well, just anecdotally, of course, right, the happier you are, those endorphins help your mood. They help decrease muscle spasm. Things like yoga, meditation, tai chi, they all contribute to a mental well-being as well. So there's definitely a role.
All right. This email from Jay. What's the latest on disc replacement versus fusion?
So thank you for your question, Jay. Unfortunately, I'm not a surgeon, so I wouldn't be able to go into depth about that.
All right. This one from Roger in Clifton Park. I doubt I'll say this properly, but here we go. Is facet rhizotomy a procedure considered to be offered or recommended for back pain by your practice?
Yes, it is.
What is that?
So again, I can definitely explain that. So there are facet joints in the back, and actually those joints go all the way up to your neck or your cervical spine. And sometimes the nerves that supply those specific joints can get irritated. And how do you know that they're the source? Well, you examine your patient. And based on the exam, if I think that the symptoms are from the facet joints, then we talk about usually a three-step process. The first step, we're putting liquid medication right over those nerves. It's called a diagnostic block. If the patient has significant improvement with that, then we go on to step two, which is still a liquid medication right over those nerves, but different from the first. That's the confirmatory block. If the patient has excellent relief with the second step, then we go to the rhizotomy, which is also known as a nerve ablation, where we're cauterizing the nerve, the thought being that if the nerve isn't there, it can't produce pain anymore. So, yes, we definitely perform rhizotomies.
The number here is 800-348-2551. Dr. Niraj Sharma joins us from Cardinal Spine and Pain Medicine in snowy Wappingers Falls, New York. Let's go back to the phones, and we now go to Nancy in Schenectady. Nancy, you're on.
Hi. I'm scheduled next 1 week from this Thursday to go to a back surgeon. And in the meantime, I've also been consulting with a chiropractor who is a good friend of mine has been going to her regularly for a number of years. And the chiropractor has done, I think, an excellent job of explaining to me what she would do and what the reason for it is. And she has a certain technique that is gentle, not aggressive, kind of like. But one of the people working at the Bone Center has been pretty adamant about not going to a chiropractor because they can do more harm than good. I don't know if you have any particular thoughts or comments on this. It seems as though the back condition I have, according to the MRIs, is pretty extremely bad.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's a great question, though, Nancy. In your world, Dr. Niraj Sharma, is there a place for referral to a chiropractor?
Absolutely. There are a couple of chiropractors in my area that, you know, I do refer to at times when I feel it's necessary. But, Nancy, if you've had chiropractic treatments for a while, I would consider, again, I'm not telling you to cancel your appointment. I don't think it's unreasonable to seek a surgical consultation, but maybe think about seeing a pain management doctor in your area that may discuss non-surgical options first.
Yeah, I did go to the pain management first. And then when they saw my MRIs, they pretty much felt that it was appropriate to schedule me to at least have a consultation with the back surgeon.
Yeah, well.
So.
Okay. Yeah, let's see what the surgeon says. And, you know, they may say to you, hey, Nancy, go back to the pain management doctor and have some injections. And if you're still not better, then we'll consider doing the surgery.
Nancy, thanks a lot for the call. The number here is 800-348-2551. Dr. Niraj Sharma joins us today from Cardinal Spine and Pain Medicine. Obviously over the phone, the, you know, travel downstate is a little treacherous at the moment. Dr. Sharma is in Wappingers Falls. You're one of those independent docs. Has paperwork and regulations and things like that become easier since you've been on this show a few years ago?
That's a funny question, Ray. Absolutely not. In fact,
I'm sorry.
Every January 1st, physicians are burdened with more administrative work, more hurdles by the insurance companies, and less coverage for my patients. So, no, it becomes more difficult, and it takes away my time that I want to spend with my patients. But unfortunately, it's part of the job.
If you think about it, though, a conspiracy theorist might say, well, this is all designed to push out the independent people.
I can't comment on conspiracy theories, right? But you know what? Who knows? Anything's possible nowadays.
Yeah, I'm going to leave that one alone. I thought I could draw you in a little bit. Dr. Niraj Sharma joins us today. It's 800-348-2551. Let's go to Roberto in Feuerbusch. You're on.
Hi.
Hi. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm calling because I'm going to make it very fast.
Okay.
I know you're very busy. When I walk, I hear and I feel that in the middle of my back, it makes a click. I don't experience any pain, not in the back nor in my legs or anything like that, but I just notice the click. The difference is if I walk more erect, then the click does not occur. But if I walk normal, which I normally do, I feel and I hear the click.
Hmm. What do you think, doctor?
Well, Roberto, thank you for your call. If you don't mind me asking, how old are you?
72.
72. Have you had
but
any
I'm going
falls
on 50, I'm 72, but I'm going on 55.
Good for you.
Sounds good. Have you had any injury or trauma to your back?
I have. 2 years ago, I picked up my motorcycle the wrong way, and nothing that it require any serious intervention. It went away within a few months.
I see. Okay, so you didn't take any medications, you didn't have any injections done?
No.
As far as just based on the on a click, I don't know if I can diagnose it, but I would start with at least some sort of lumbar spine x-rays that look for instability. That's what I would recommend. I would ask your doctor if they can order something like extension and flexion views of the lumbar spine to start with.
Now, when you say views, are you talking about MRI or something?
No, I would start with just plain old x-rays first.
Aha. Uh-huh. All right, Roberto, what do you think?
I know I have some arthritis in my back. I've been told that. I think my theory is it is related to an activity that I do. I drive for a living.
I see.
Oh, yeah.
So I spend a lot of time sitting down in my car 4, 5, 6 hours a day. And for some reason, I'm relating this problem to that activity.
I think that's a fair
bet.
It
could contribute, especially if you're in the same position for a long period of time. But again, I would, or your doctor can examine you and try to identify the source. But I would at least start with lumbar spine x-rays, flexion and extension views.
Thanks, Roberto. Appreciate the call. I don't know, Dr. Sharma, but, Roberto's got 11, 12, 13 years on me. But pretty much everything clicks on me when I walk. So, isn't that just old age? These things are going to happen.
Yeah, I think most likely it's arthritis. It could be some calcification of the ligaments, stuff like that.
But anytime I've talked to a long-haul trucker in my life, back issues pop up as you get older. It's a real problem when you're sitting in that, whether you're a limousine driver or a truck driver, you're sitting in the same position for hours at a time. Let's see. Let's go to Jim in Adams, Massachusetts. Jim, you're on.
Yay, Ray.
Hey, you're on, buddy. Go ahead.
All right. Thank you, sir. Yes, I'm 82 years old this past January, and it'll be 5 years ago this coming May that I came down with sciatic pain, primarily my left side of my body, from my neck all the way down underneath my foot up the arch to the bottom of my toes. Had sharp stabbing pains, numbness and tingling, burning sensations. And I went to my chiropractor. I haven't seen him for a while, been seeing too regularly for a while. And he referred me to a spine and pain specialist in Pittsfield. He did a nerve conductivity test, and the left side was very garbled tone on the machine and on the readings on the graph. And the right side was a little more clear. But I had an MRI done, and as the pain specialist predicted, I do have a herniated disc. It's the one between the L5 and S1 vertebrae in my lower spine.
Okay.
I've been doing chiropractic treatments, and I've been also exercising to strengthen and limber up and loosen up the muscles all through my core and my back and neck and such. The way I exercise, I applied a technique from a piece of exercise equipment I purchased from a company in Germany years ago. The secret to their system is to hold the tension in the muscles or the muscle groups for a count of 8 seconds. I go 8, 16, 24, 32, even as the muscles improve in strength and tone. So that I'm digging down deep and getting the all the connecting tissues, as well as just not only the primary muscle on top.
All right.
I don't know what else I can do, though.
You got any questions, Jim?
Well, I wonder if the doctor had any further suggestions for treatment.
All right, Dr. Sharma, what do you think?
Sure. So it sounds like you're doing some exercises that are helping you. But if you're still having these sort of symptoms, the burning and involvement of your legs, and it's all the way up to your neck, I surmise that you obviously have some arthritis in the cervical spine, the neck, the lumbar spine. Have you had any cortisone injections for your symptoms?
Yes, the spine specialist, pain specialist in Pittsfield has given me some injections.
Okay. Maybe you can...
They're superficial injections. They're not too deep. They're not anything deep into the spine or anything.
Okay. So it sounds like you may have had trigger point injections then, which you are correct.
Yeah,
they're
probably
they're
more
superficial.
Trigger cortisone.
Yeah. Yeah, they're just in the
hospital. I don't have the severe symptoms I started out with four or five years ago. And the symptoms have greatly, greatly reduced over the time of all this treatment and exercising and such.
Jim, buddy boy.
I do have a little...
Doctor, hello, Jim. Hello. Dr. Sharma was answering your question. You jumped in there. Finish your thought, okay. Dr. Sharma. Go ahead.
Sure, no problem. So if you've had the trigger point injections, I don't think they're addressing the issues that are deeper. So you may need some cortisone injections by your pain doctor under X-ray, which is also called a fluoroscope, to get to the nerves that are actually involved.
All right, Jim, we got to take a break here, but thank you very much for the call. 800-348-2551 is our number. Email is voxpop@wamc.org. We'll be back with Dr. Niraj Sharma and more of your calls in a moment. Town. There's Bill Charlap on Vox Pop. 800-348-2551 is the number. Medical Monday, we join Dr. Niraj Sharma of Cardinal Spine and Pain Medicine on the phone in Wappingers Falls, New York. Getting back to Jim's call for just a moment, Dr. Sharma. Okay, so you say, and he said he got pain point injections, but not full spinal injections with cortisone. But even if you go with the full spinal injection of cortisone, that doesn't last forever. How long will that last if you get it in the right spot?
Well, every patient's different, but, you know, I'm going to say on average, 3 to 6 months. I have patients who come back, say, every 5 years, and then I have patients that have very severe anatomical findings that have to come, you know, once or twice, maybe three times a year. But it's very rare for me to do a third injection on a patient, in 1 year. So I'm going to say on average, at least a couple of months.
And it's okay to do that every couple few months or a little longer than that over the course of a lifetime?
It should be. It should be, absolutely. The steroid use that I usually get concerned about is, say, someone that has a rheumatological condition and has to take oral steroids for long periods of time. In those scenarios, you're more concerned about bone density and the effect of the steroid on that. But if you're only getting, you know, a steroid or two a year, you should be okay. But, of course, you have to keep in mind what their other medical conditions are. Are they diabetic? Are there any other contraindications? As long as you do it, if it's medically necessary, most of the time it should be okay.
We're joined by Dr. Niraj Sharma of Cardinal Spine and Pain Medicine in Wappingers Falls. And let's go back to the phones at 800-348-2551. Dennis is in Valencia. Dennis, go ahead.
Thank you for your time. I have a comment on those ergonomics, no shovels, where you stand up and you don't have to bend over.
Yeah.
I've done one step more. I'm right-handed. When you stand up straight and you let your hand, your right hand, lay the fingers go against the thigh. So I unhooked that handle and gave it a little twist. And now that's so much better where I don't have to twist my right arm when I'm using that shovel.
Ah.
I hope that helps somebody else.
Well, thanks, Dennis. So what do you think, Dr. Sharma? Do you do your own shoveling?
I do not.
Yeah, good for you.
Yeah, I usually delegate because I'm usually not home to do it. But
I love that.
Yeah, but if I could make a suggestion would just be that if you are going to shovel, try not to do it all at once. You want to take breaks. And if there's any shortness of breath or chest pain, please stop.
Yeah, okay. Well, easier said than done when you can't get in your driveway. Steve in Housatonic. Steve, you're on.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
I'm going contra to everybody with this snow shoveling. And the reason is because I've been shoveling all my life. I worked on farms and such, and you do a lot of shoveling, like mucking out horse stalls and stuff. And so what I've found is the very best shovel, I don't know if I can name a particular chain of businesses.
I prefer to stay away from it, but you could always hint.
Sure.
Go ahead. Well,
okay, so it's a chain, a nationwide chain that sells, dog food, supplies.
Gotcha.
And a lot of horse stuff, supplies.
10-4.
And they have a section in there for, when you want to clean barn stalls and stuff. And they sell a red plastic shovel. It's a short-handled shovel, but it's narrow in width. It's deep but narrow, and it has a D handle on it. So these wide shovels that people are using for snow tend to twist on your arms, which, goes to your back, goes to your shoulders.
So interesting.
But this D handle, narrow, deep shovel will do the same job. It's built to shovel much heavier stuff than snow, if you know what I mean.
I think we get it.
The shaft of the shovel is fairly thick in diameter, so when you grip it with your hand, these little aluminum thin shovels, you're squeezing your hands and tightening all the muscles in your arms and stuff. And these are just, you can relax and shovel with this, especially the D handle, because you're not twisting, you're not twisting your body nearly so much. And I think that anybody that was to purchase one of those shovels that are used for cleaning out barns and stables would be very, very happy.
Well, Steve, that's great. Dr. Sharma, what do you think?
Thank you for the information, Steve. I appreciate it. I can share it with my patients.
We brought up snow shoveling at the beginning of the show, and suddenly it's the shoveling hour. We got an email here from, I don't know who it is, L.A. Instead of the S-shaped, there's a lot of shovels, a lot of the S-shaped ergonomic snow shovel, which I can't abide either, at 64, I decided to try using a child-sized snow shovel, and that has made all the difference. Lighter loads put less strain on my 64-year-old back and lungs, and the snow gets just as shoveled. Laugh if you will, but let your inner child choose the shovel, and your back will thank you. What do you think?
I think that's very smart. Common sense prevails.
Did you ever think maybe we can talk about snowblowers when you come back? That'll be fun. Let's see. We're going to go to Sarah in Beckett. Sarah, you're on.
Hey, hi. How you doing, guys?
Good.
So I'll try to make this brief, but I want to give you the backdrop here. I had a right knee replacement 2 years ago. That's going well. But a few months ago, I started having low back pain on the right side only. I thought it was related to the knee replacement, but went to my physiatrist, and he did x-rays and MRI and found that I have this edema in the facet joint on the lower back. So I have a lot of arthritis also. So his recommendation was two. One was injection, which he says because it's the facet joint, it's simple to do, just guide it. But that only lasts, as I think Dr. Sharma mentioned earlier, only maybe a few months, and I don't want to have to keep going back. His other recommendation was to do removal of the edema, going through and going in the facet joint, and I'm a little scared of that, so I opted not to do either. However, I'm always in pain on the right side, plus when I drive for probably more than an hour or two, the rest of the day I really have to take anti-inflammatories. So is there anything, first of all, do you recommend these procedures, or is there anything else you think I should be doing in order to relieve that pain?
Sure. So if based on the exam, your doctor thought that it was from the facet joints, then I think the options that were discussed are reasonable. and with the medial branch blocks, which are the diagnostic and confirmatory blocks I was referring to previously, the first and second steps.
Yes.
It's not something you have to keep on getting done. The first step is done to see how much improvement you would get. So, for example, if you had the first set of injections and you went back to your doctor and said, hey, I only had 10% improvement, then your doctor would not go to step two because that's not sufficient improvement for us to justify going down that algorithm. Okay. So, again, it's not something you would continue, having every couple months. If you had, say, 70% improvement with the first set of injections, then your doctor may say, okay, let's go to step two, see how much improvement you have with the confirmatory block. if with that step you still mm-hmm. have significant improvement in your mobility, in your function, in your pain level, then the last step would be the goal here. So the cauterizing of those nerves, the ablation, the rhizotomy, they're all terms for the same procedure, really. So if you get rid of that nerve, mm-hmm. you won't have symptoms from that specific nerve anymore. That's the thinking behind it.
Mm-hmm.
So I would consider them.
And how safe is that particular procedure? I'm sorry, interrupt.
I'm sorry?
Say it again, Sarah.
So how safe is the ablation, which is what he really thinks I should have done? And I'm just afraid of doing it.
How safe
sure.
is it?
In the right hands, it's extremely safe.
Okay, so you go to a professional. Sarah, thank you very much for the call. Dr. Niraj Sharma joins us from Cardinal Spine and Pain Medicine. The number is 800-348-2551. We go to Ulster Park and Dolores. Dolores, you're on.
Hello.
Hello.
I've been listening to this great conversation, the show. And if you can support the value of, we go out and shovel, and then we just continue to do whatever we want, and then at the end of the day, we got a backache. Or, you know, we're on a computer all day, and we're, you know, going at it, and then our hands hurt, and we don't do anything. We'll maybe take an anti-inflammatory. How can we prevent ourselves from getting all messed up by, you know, what modalities, what therapies do you recommend that don't require going outside, you know, going outside the home? Things that we can do at home.
But you kind of have to live your life. There are going to be times where you need to vacuum or you need to shovel. In general, I know a lot of my patients are on the computer at their job or at home. One quick tip would probably be set a timer on your phone. I tell patients do this because during the day we get engrossed in whatever we're doing and we forget about moving, right? So put a timer that tells you to move every 30 minutes. If you're sitting, stand up. If you're standing, sit down. If you're sitting on one cheek, switch to the other cheek and so on.
All right.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right, Dolores.
You're welcome, Dolores.
Thanks a lot. Is that usually a problem, doctor, sitting on one cheek or the other?
There are some patients that are, more preferable to one side. They like to lean, so.
Yeah, okay. All right, we'll just leave it there. Let's go to Bill in Stockbridge. Bill, you're on.
Hey, Dr. Sharma. Thanks for taking my call.
No problem.
Go ahead, Bill.
So I have went on a long journey back in 2017. I had a fusion of the L3, L4, disc problems, stenosis problems, arthritis problems, and scoliosis problems. Went for about 4 years, and it really deteriorated bad, and the scoliosis somehow managed to go to 45 degrees. The neurosurgeon that I had it done with didn't recommend I do anything, but I couldn't stand for much more than 10 to 15 minutes. I would hunch over, a lot of pain. There wasn't medication enough in the world to make it go away. Ended up going online, found a guy, world-class surgeon, Mount Sinai in New York, and went down and saw him, and he goes, I'm there, can you help me? He's there, oh, yeah. Well, now I have 3 rods in my back. One of them is probably 17 inches, and 2 are almost a foot long with all the associated screws and hardware. And it changed my life. I don't even eat an Advil anymore.
Wow.
That's fantastic, Bill. I'm happy you're better.
Bill, thank you for sharing.
I'm listening to the shoveling and the wood that I'm bringing in. And after bringing in 3 cords of wood this winter, now I'm starting to get a little pain down my outside of my right leg. And I'm thinking, I know what it's from. To stop. And even though I'm 74 years old, it's so hard to stop and live a more sedate life, I guess.
Yeah. Bill, we're having a little trouble with the phone. I'll tell you, doctor, I have no trouble stopping and living a sedate life. It's remarkably easy if you really try. Dee is in Oneonta. Dee, you're on.
Yes, hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
This is about being in your 80s. It relates to women. The new thing that my friends are all getting in New York is are injections to try to increase your bone density, like Evanity, which is once a month injections for a year, and it used to be once a year, something else, but now there's Evanity. And my thought is, how can you gain bone density in your 80s?
Great question. Can you?
So I can't say that this is my forte. I would consider speaking to an endocrinologist because they would be the best to discuss various treatment options for decreased bone density. Even if you have osteoporosis, there are different levels. As they compare your bone density to people your age and your bone density to people that are much younger. But again, I think the best specialist to confer with would be an endocrinologist in this case.
Thank you. Yes, I appreciate that.
Thanks, Dee. Appreciate it. And next time we have an endocrinologist on the show, please call back and you can ask the question again. Dr. Niraj Sharma joins us from Cardinal Spain. Spine and Pain Medicine in Wappingers Falls, New York. Let's go to Mark in East Moncton, Vermont. Mark, you're on.
Hey, hello. I had sciatica about 7 years ago. I was a touring musician sitting in a car, and it got so bad that I could not find a chair to sit on, so on and so forth. And then, even if I was in a car, my upper hamstring would start to ache, be painful, couldn't get comfortable. Anyhow, make a long story short, I bought a stretching strap, and I do this every day. I'm 76, and I lay down on my mat, and I stretch, and, I count to like 100 real slow. I do 3 sets, and that cured my sciatica. And stretching is so important. I lift weights. Dumbbells, not real heavy, but I have on my basement, I go down my cellar and I've got a bar right across the header and I just hang on that, and just stretch my spine and it's all good. The other thing I wanted to say is, inflammation, it's uric acid, it's sugar, it's all these chemicals, and I'm a total plant-based diet guy now. I had huge issues of gout. I got that figured out and it's all good. And my last thing is, you're talking about shovels, get a snow sled pusher. And what that does is you scoop the snow, you get your bucket full, you just tilt it down, and you ski up over, and you got no strain on your back.
Wow, man.
So what do you think of all that?
What do you think,
Very
Doctor?
Very creative, I must say.
Well, thanks a lot for the call. I appreciate it very much. Well, Dr. Sharma, we're just about out of time here. I can say that we probably had 5 to 6 calls on shoveling. So that's a new record here for Vox Pop. If people want to find out more about Cardinal Spine and Pain Medicine in Wappingers Falls, how do they do that? How do they get in touch?
Sure. They can go to cardinal-spine.com or they can call our number, 845-297-VAC, B-A-C-K.
Now, presumably you have someone who'll take the calls for you. You can't possibly do everything.
That is true. I have a wonderful team that I work with. I'm very grateful for them.
Well, that is great. And hopefully you'll come back again soon and come back to the studio. You're probably the most distant guest I've had on the show this year. And the most distant guest has to be booked on the day of a blizzard. Isn't that something?
It's okay. It all worked out, Ray. Thank you for being so accommodating.
Great job on the phone, and thanks for being with us. Support comes from Prestwick Chase Independent Living Community, offering social, cultural, and educational activities amid 120 acres of natural woodscape in historic Saratoga Springs. PrestwickChase.com. Thanks again to Dr. Niraj Sharma of Cardinal Spine and Pain Medicine in Wappingers Falls, New York, for joining us on the phone today. Thanks to Barb King, who braved the elements and screened the calls today. Barb, thank you. Thanks to Zach Malloy, who never leaves. He lives upstairs on a cot, and he's our engineer. Thank you, Zach. Tomorrow, we'll learn more about artificial intelligence with Dr. Jim Hendler from RPI. That's tomorrow at 2. I'm Ray Graff. We'll see you then.